Not another Anon story. Chapter 6.
Rakov to A6, checkmate.
Anon said with a smile that ran a bit too wide. His hair was a bit of a mess, more so than usual, and his glasses hung low on his nose as he beamed down at her from across the board with an almost ecstatic expression. The board sat between them, with Twilight closer to it than he was, of course. The actual board was a small box with a crystal inside of it, projecting the game board in a holographic fashion above itself. On the board, one of Anon's rooks, represented in this version of the game by a very large bearded earth pony, had Twilight's king, represented by Celestia at shovel point. Twilight gave an exasperated sigh of defeat as she hung her head, and rubbed her hooves to remain in an exasperated fashion.
Ugh, that's another tie-up.
She looked back at him, a similarly anxious, excitable look on her face. Eye twitching slightly, she pressed a button on the side of the box to reset all the pieces to their appropriate place on the board. They seemed to have been at it for some time, the room littered with the debris of several rounds of snacks and refreshments on either side of the table, both of them looking as if they hadn't gotten much rest. The sun is peeking over the horizon slowly now, beams of sunlight entering the room through one of the open windows.
Look, maybe we should pack it up and try to grab a nap before the research team gets here. I think 10 rounds is enough.
Anon says as he gave a yawn and stretched out in his chair, rubbing his eyes slowly. Twilight looked like she wanted to argue, but seeing how tired he was and seeing the mess that they had made after getting so deeply entrenched in what they were doing, she gave an embarrassed look over to him, before sighing and nodding.
I think that might be for the best. We can always play more another time. Good game, Anon.
She said, as she pressed the second of the two buttons in the side of the magical device to deactivate it, the hologram above the fairly compact arcane device dissipating. Anon sighed softly and got out of his chair, starting to pick up some of the trash in his immediate vicinity in an attempt to make his immediate surroundings seem a little bit less like the aftermath of a heated 8-hour chess binge. Twilight did much of the same for the half of the room her own chair was on, using her magic to make the task considerably easier.
You know, Anon, I could just do it myself if you wanted to move over a bit. It wouldn't take very long.
She said, as she watched him bend down to pick the little scraps and bits of snack wrappers and cans of drink off of the table on the floor.
I appreciate the offer, but I helped make the mess, so I wouldn't feel comfortable if I didn't help to clean it.
He said as he continued.
And besides, it's not that much, honestly. You should see my room after a real gaming binge. It makes this level of cleanliness look like a freshly prepped operating room.
She gives a small grimace at the thought of considering this tidy and clean.
Fair enough, I suppose.
She said as she finished up, with him having a bit more to go. Once the both of them finished cleaning and he brought us half of the mess of the pile Twilight had made before backing away, her horn lit up, and in a flash the small pile of refuse was incinerated, not even leaving a spot on the floor where it had been. The only sign anything had been there was a small poof of smoke rising from the space the trash had previously occupied.
Huh, yeah, I gotta admit, that seems pretty handy, not gonna front.
He said as he rubbed his chin slowly, looking down at where the trash had been.
Honestly, I'm pretty hyped that that doesn't work on me.
Yeah, the amount of energy needed to superheat the air to that extent while only being able to directly heat an area outside of a 15-foot perimeter of you, effectively without letting any escape outside the desired area of effect, and possibly harm other ponies would make it pretty hard even for Celestia.
Twilight said softly as well, leading Anon to give her a quiet,
"Hey, what the fuck?"
look before shrugging and waving it off. As the two of them stood there silently, Princess Luna opened the door to the room, and peeked inside, looking fairly tired herself.
Our sister had asked us to check up on you, since we did not see you in the dream room last night, Twilight Sparkle. The researchers will be here soon, and we wish to escort you to the laboratory area. I hope the human has not been too— Oh dear, you both look worse than I do.
She said, her eyes widening as she looked at the two of them. They really must look like quite a pair. Frazzled hair, wide, slightly bloodshot eyes, and mildly anxious. All excellent signs of someone who is in dire need of a long and fruitful visit with Mr. Bed. Anon resisted the urge to make good on his promise to call her Moonbud if she used that term again, and responded.
Yeah, we've been up playing chess and talking all night. That was my bad. I asked her if she wanted to play, and, well, we started at the best of three, but we kept tying up for about 10 games or so. We actually just finished and cleaned up a bit before he came back to check up on us. My name is Anon, by the way.
She seemed to ignore the last part of what he said as her eyes widened in slight surprise.
You play Regicide? We are strangely not as surprised as we would expect by that.
She said with a hint of irony as she slipped into the room, closing the door behind her.
Though we are considerably more surprised that you managed to tie our sister's students. She rarely struggles against opponents outside of ourselves and her sister.
Anon tilted his head slightly, his own curiosity piqued.
Regicide? I suppose that's a fitting name. I'm gonna assume that's what they called it back in the day, or a... when you were younger, a few centuries ago. Perhaps we can have a game sometime. I would certainly enjoy the novelty of chess with royalty. Hopefully as much as you might enjoy the novelty of chess with an endangered species.
We would hope that the novelty of regicide with the inventor of the game would be a more suitable offering to our guest.
Luna said, sneaking softly as she gave a faux, disinterested look, rubbing her hoof against her chest plate.
Though we suppose that we might find the prospect of another passable opponent worthy. It has been so difficult to find good challengers since the game fell out of favor in Saddle Arabia. All of those Germain and French colts who keep coming to challenge me are so dry and boring. Oh, and don't even get me started on the dead-eyed little whelps from Stalingrad.
Now it was Anand's turn to stop paying attention halfway through when someone was talking.
Wait, you invented this game here. Now that is quite an accomplishment. I'm man enough to admit when I find something impressive, and that certainly fits the bill. I'd be honored to play a round or two sometime in that case,
he said, giving her a genuinely excited smile. Luna seemed to puff up slightly, standing a bit taller. She certainly seemed to appreciate the praise.
We are pleased that one as cynical as yourself would still have the proper appreciation for such an invitation.
Well, I'm certainly glad to hear that I'm still capable of pleasing a woman. So, you said that you wanted to bring us to the lab?
He asked as he walked over to grab his bag, sliding it over his shoulder. Luna's eye twitched slightly and her cheeks darkened, only slightly, before she shook it off as nothing but coincidence. Twilight was doing a substantially worse job at concealing her mortification.
Wait, that is to say yes, we would. Follow us, please.
She sputtered out, with as much dignity as she can muster before she opened the door, and trotted out with a small sigh of resignation, with Twilight quickly falling behind her and Anand trailing from a safe distance from the pair. They arrive a short walk later in a rather Spartan clean room in the castle. There was an array of equipment Anand would have described as somewhat, antiquated, would be a polite way to put it. However, once again, he had to remind himself that he was in a different place, with access to different resources and a different way of doing things, and not to jump to conclusions. There was also a small menagerie of middle-aged to elderly-looking pony gentlemen all grouped around Celestia, who seemed to be listening to each of them carefully, before she looked over to see the three of them enter.
Oh, Chenzelcolds! It seems that your test subject and my students have both arrived.
She said as she slipped between a few members of the small crowd to approach her sister.
Indeed, sister. We have just dragged these two rapscallions out of an 8-hour regicide match. We do hope that whatever these stallions of science have planned for today will not be overly strenuous for either of them.
Luna said, shooting the both of them a mildly amused look, as they both gave a somewhat sheepish apologetic look to the stallions who would be working with them. One of them, a gray-colored older-looking stallion with blue eyes and a white mane that seemed to be barely tamed into a manageable combed back style, approached alongside Celestia, and spoke as well.
Oh, no worries. We will simply be taking some baseline measurements. Heart rate, blood pressure, taking some blood samples, and perhaps a few tissue samples. Of course, assuming the subject will allow it. We will also perform some routine cognitive tests and ask them some questions about themselves and where they come from to try and glean some information about their origins.
Anand yawned softly as he looked over at the little professor pony and stretched out a bit.
Well, that all sounds fine if you can manage it, considering my, condition. But maybe we should study sleep patterns first. I don't mean to be a downer, but I don't feel like you're gonna get the most accurate metrics if you take them while I'm sleep deprived.
The gentle colt scowled softly as they looked down and thought about it for a moment, nodding.
I suppose you are right. For the sake of having more accurate initial data, we should give you some time to rest. Do you have a name, by the way?
Oh, did Celestia not tell you? My name's Anand, and before you say it, it's pronounced human, not human.
Anand said, as he gave a small polite nod of greeting to the stallion before him.
My name is Dr. Ney. I'm a mathematics professor at Celestia School for Gifted Unicorns. Celestia offered me the opportunity to lead this project with Twilight based on the fact that as her former teacher, I am familiar with her way of doing things. She wanted me to help Twilight decide what data was and was not relevant to the questions we are trying to answer about you.
He said, placing a hoof on his chest as he spoke, smiling up at his soon-to-be test subject politely.
Hey, Bill, get over here with the subject so we can all say hi.
Another one of the stallions said in a good-natured tone. Anand's eyes widened slightly as he heard the name of the pony professor called aloud.
Bill... Ney. Bill.
His eye twitched as the chant began in his head as he did his best to resist the siren call of his childhood, fist clenching tightly.
Perhaps we should humor them. I would prefer to get to know the ponies I'll be working with.
A short meet-and-greet session and a nice long nap later, Anand was given one of those embarrassing little hospital gowns to change into. Made more embarrassing that the thing was barely long enough to conceal anything worth concealing on his large, bipedal frame. He sat on a comfortable enough-looking sterile cot in a clean, simple room. It contained the few things that you might expect. Some cabinets and a closet for storage. There was also a countertop, table, and a few chairs as well. His things sat in a locker next to the cot, and he had been told that this is where he would be staying for a day or two, while they take his vitals and do some initial observation. And also just to do whatever felt natural whenever he was not being directly questioned or prodded at. The research team would require at least one day out of his week, a few months in order to monitor him for any changes in physiology or behavior, and in turn, he would be compensated with a monthly stipend, on top of royalties on the profits for any books or papers written on the topic of him and any research pertaining to him within the borders of Equestria by order of the crown. Speaking of which, the first of his visitors was arriving soon. Today, they would be focusing on the very basics, taking samples and vitals, and the like to set a baseline for future tests. There was a knock on the door, and after a soft,
"Come in,"
from Anon, it opened to reveal a relatively tall, sleek-looking unicorn. He had a slicked back blonde mane, a white coat, and dark blue eyes. His cutie mark was of a serpent in a jagged S sort of shape, winding crookedly around a staff.
"Good evening, Herr Anon. I am Dr. Mengel. I am the chief researcher for non-equine medicine and physiology at the Equestria Institute for Health and Wellness,"
he said in a thick German-sounding accent, as he slowly trotted a bit closer to his subject, stopping at almost exactly 15 feet away from him. As Anon was silently noping about every part of this he could wrap his head around, the doctor levitated a clipboard that was hung from a peg next to the door over to himself, humming as he read it.
"Now, if Miss Sparkle's observations of your anomalous properties are to be believed, it'll be a unique challenge to properly conduct the requisite tests to measure your vitals,"
he said, tutting softly as he looked over the clipboard back at his subject.
"Is it true that spells are unable to operate within a certain radius of your body, Herr Anon?"
The human nodded slowly, as he gave the doctor a cautious, unsure look, as if weighing up the benefits of continuing to be here versus the possible risks of trying to leave.
"That is correct, yes. The only pony who didn't seem to experience any adverse effects up to the distance required for physical contact was Zecora."
"Ah, yes, the zebra. Professor Leibonovas gave Freyjorn and Sparkle quite the tongue-lashing after he heard about her uncouth assumptions on the train. But enough small talk. For now, we can dispense with the pleasantries until after our tests are done. In any case, fortunately for us both, I do happen to have one zebra on staff who was free to assist us with the procedures. Please come in, Fräulein Rooibos."
At his call, a stocky, somewhat stern-looking zebra walked into the room, holding a bag with a red cross over the front by the handle in her mouth. She set it down on the counter and nodded to the doctor, speaking in a soft but firm tone. Her voice was rich and a bit on the deep end.
"Is this a subject, Dr. Mengel?"
she asked in a slightly stilted cadence as he looked Anon up and down slowly. Dude, I don't know what the fuck I said when I tried to do a German accent. And to anyone who is German, I am so sorry that I failed you in that. Anyways, let's get on to our very successful donators. Top donators: TacoCat598, Peter Coldhard, JTinMan, Darkside, Gauntlet, and Only One Thing. Zar630, Strix, Raiden, Narwhals, Black Moonheart, Drake Lovedragon, Pastel Skies, Austin Rowland, CrazyKiller557, Stu Hex, Dospo, Madman Stan, Delta Omega, Jack Edge, RuneScythe9852, Hudson Norman, Stephen Bingham, LineGod12, Dash of Evergreen, Rani Dragonwolf, Ponyman, Tal Rasha, The Toilet Snake, Sword Brother and Mordred, Ron and Wandering, Runner Person Man Guy, Easy, Skyuchia, Leslie Perkett, Jordan Peterson, CrimsonKids89, Lightskin, Monster Kitty, Needs a Life, Milan Viehenek, Lightning Cheese, and many more super smart people. Thank you all very much for watching this video, and live life to the fullest.